particular hour, and it's different by design. We've done that on purpose because of some of the things that we're going to do as part of our worship experience today. So if you're used to a typical Sunday routine, we're just giving you the heads up that things will be changing. We're going to be doing the Lord's Supper in this service, and both the Lord's Supper as well as the offering time will come at the end of the service. We're doing a sermon that's actually starting right now with me, but we're dividing it up into three parts in the course of the service. That does not mean that the service is going to be three times as long today. That just means we're taking three points from the message and we're wrapping them around some of the worship time and experiences that we're going to have together today. Today's service really is entitled The Essence of Worship. And as we've gathered here this morning, I think the first point that we're going to try to prove through Scripture here in just a moment is simply this, that the essence of worship is always at the feet of Jesus. The essence of worship is always at the feet of Jesus. Now, one of the people in Scripture who I think totally got this concept was a person named Mary. We call her Mary of Bethany. She is only in Scripture in three places. There's a fourth place in which something that she has done is referenced. But her activity is only found in three places in Scripture. So it's not that we know a whole lot about her, but I do believe she really is one of the true worshipers of Scripture. And I think there's some great things that we can learn through some of the things that Mary of Bethany did. In Luke 10:39, is the first place that we see her, and it says this. It says, she, and that's referring to Martha, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And in John 11:35, it says this, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In John 12, this was a dinner at Bethany a few days before Jesus was crucified, and Jesus, his disciples, and Lazarus were all reclining at the table. And in John 12, verse 3, it says this, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, in order to wipe his feet with her hair, she would have had to have been kneeling before him. In Luke 10, she was listening to his teachings, and in John 11, she was pouring out her heart to him with the burden of the death of her brother Lazarus. And in John 12, she was anointing him with this really, really expensive perfume. In other words, you could really say this. In Luke 10, you could say that she found her blessing at his feet by listening to his teachings. And in John 11, you could say that she brought her burden to his feet, the death of her brother Lazarus. And in John 12, you could say that she gave her very best at his feet. Everywhere that we see this one character in Scripture, she's always in one place. She is always at the feet of Jesus. And true worship is always found at the feet of Jesus. If you ask me today, and I'm a worship pastor, so I'm in the industry of worship, so it would make sense if you would ask the worship pastor, what do you believe is the quintessential verse in Scripture about worship? My answer to you would be one that might not be one that you would normally think of. But my answer would be Philippians 3:10, which says this, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Philippians 3:10. If we can, we're going to leave this scripture on the screen because I want to go through a few things relative to this. Because I don't think there's any greater expression of worship than the opening of this verse. I want to know Christ. To me, that is what worship is. Worship is about knowing Christ and doing whatever you need to do to know him. In Mary's experience, you could kind of say this, that in Luke 10, when she was sitting at Jesus' feet, she found her blessing in knowing him. And how is that? Because she was listening to what he said. She was at his feet to hear his teachings. She was discovering ways to know Christ. And in John 11, when she's pouring out her burden over the death of her brother Lazarus to Jesus, she is knowing him in the power of his resurrection. Because Jesus is all about giving life where there is death. And did Lazarus not later be raised from the dead? And in John 12, when she is anointing Jesus' feet for burial, she gave the very best. But she anointed him with a perfume that you anoint people for burial with. Somehow, some way, the dots had connected with her. And whether she knew when it was going to happen, it was, by the way, going to be about a week later, or a little bit less than a week later, that Jesus would be on the cross. But she was joining him in the fellowship of his sufferings, already anointing him for the death that was to come. So first of all, she found her blessing at his feet. So the whole passage in Luke 10 looks like this. In Luke 10, beginning in verse 38, says this, "And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to come help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you're worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen which is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" See, Mary found her blessing at the feet of Jesus by doing two very, very important things that are critical in the life of a worshiper. Number one, she stopped. Martha, in this passage, did not stop. She continued going. But Mary stopped. How many times in your life have you stopped to worship God? You know, worshiping Him is not something that is merely on a task list that you check off, that, you know, I got that done today and I'll move on to the dishes or to budget preparations at work or whatever. Worship is something that we stop what we're doing in order to focus on and do. Secondly, Mary did something else critically important, and that is that she listened. The scripture said she was listening at the feet of Jesus to his teachings. Martha was upset because Mary wasn't helping her with preparations. And especially in that culture, it would have been expected that Mary would have been a part of what Martha was doing. But for some reason, Mary stopped what she was doing and went to the feet of Jesus to listen. This is what is called trading the urgent for the significant. How many people here have urgent things that are in your life? I mean, don't we all have things that are just urgent? They've got to be done no matter what. But how many times have we come to the point where we realize that the things that are on the urgent list and the things that are on the significant list might be two very, very different things? What Mary did here is that she chose the significant over the urgent by going to the feet of Jesus to worship him, to stop what she was doing, and to listen to his teaching. I think worship often for me is when I stop telling God what I think he needs to know, and I pause long enough to listen to what he's saying. I have a lot of things that I want God to know. And I can have a whole prayer time that is nothing but me telling God what I think he needs to know. I'm not sure that true worship happens during those times. True worship happens when I stop, and I stop telling him what I think he needs to know, and I start listening to what he says. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're here today. We're here today collectively to listen to Jesus speak. And coming together to worship him, it's vital in hearing the voice of God in our lives. So my encouragement to you is this, as we kind of conclude segment one And as Ryan and Suzanne and the team lead us here in a little bit of worship, can you ask God today what it is he wants to say to you? Can you worship him by stopping all of the distractions that may be happening in your life right now, pressing the pause button, and for the moment, just listen to see what he says? We think about Mary of Bethany, the second time that we see her in Scripture, knowing that she brought this time her burden at his feet. Here's a few, I guess, interesting things about that passage. Since John chapter 11, and many of you may have heard the story, you have these siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Lazarus is ill, and word is sent to Jesus that Lazarus is ill. Jesus says something kind of interesting. He says about Lazarus' illness, when told about it, he said, "This is the kind of illness that doesn't lead to death." I find that interesting because Lazarus died. Yet Jesus said, "This is the kind of illness that doesn't lead to death." He went on to say that it's the kind, however, that gives glory to God the Father. When Jesus arrives, or when he is on the road to where Mary and Martha and their family are, Martha comes out onto the street and she speaks to Jesus. She says, "Why didn't you come? If you had come, then you could have healed our brother and he would still be with us." Now here's what's interesting, because Mary goes inside, and this is what she says. She says to Mary, "The teacher has been asking for you." So if you kind of picture the situation, you have Martha coming out, and she is confronting Jesus on the road, and she says to him, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died. You could have healed him." And after a momentary exchange, he says to her, "Tell Mary I want to see her." I find that interesting. Rather than doing what we would think would be completely resolving the situation with Martha, he actually asked for the other sister. So word goes to Mary to go see him, and she comes out and sees him. And she says virtually the same thing, not word for word, but virtually the same thing. "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." But there is a difference between what Mary did and what Martha did, and the difference is this. Scripture attests to Martha coming out and meeting Jesus on the road. But when it comes to Mary, Scripture says she fell at his feet. And then she said, "Lord, if you had not been here, our brother would not have died." And here's what I want you to take away from that. They both had burdens. The burden of the death of their brother. They both believed that Jesus could have healed him from his illness so that he would not have died. They were both burdened with guilt as well as the confusion over what it was Jesus didn't do that they thought he should do. But the difference is this. There is a difference between throwing your burdens at Jesus' face and in laying your burdens at Jesus' feet. Martha didn't fall at Jesus' feet. She took her burdens and she threw him at his face. Mary fell at his feet and laid her burdens there. The same burdens, but a completely different posture and a completely different result. How many of you have ever thrown your burdens at Jesus' face? When you wanted him to feel as hurt as you do by whatever it was that he didn't do that you needed him to do. When you were concerned that he wasn't as angry about the situation as you were, so you decided that you were going to get in his face and throw your burdens there because he let you be hurt. Your burdens don't get healed that way. But your burdens do get healed when you trust him enough to know that no matter what it is, you can lay it at his feet. You can take whatever it is that is eating you up inside, and you can give it to Jesus at his feet. The goal now is not to to make him hurt. The goal now is to allow him to heal you from what's hurting you. My encouragement to you is to take whatever the burdens are that you have, the things that are confusing you in life, the things that you have prayed for that you don't know whether or not they're going to come to pass. Remember a couple of things. One is, Lazarus, by the way, was raised from the dead by Jesus. Jesus said, this is an illness that doesn't lead to death. And Lazarus died. But Jesus brought him back. And the reason why he brought him, one of many reasons why he brought him back, is because when Jesus promises something, it's real, and it doesn't matter what everything else looks like. Something in your life right now has flatlined. And you may be here today believing that the moment at which Jesus could save your situation has already passed. You may believe that it has now gone too far, and that it's over, and it's done, and there's nothing he can do about it. My question to you is, forget what it looks like. What has he already said? Did he promise you life? Did he promise you life abundant? Did he promise you that wherever he begins a good work, he will be faithful to complete it? Did he promise that he will guide you through whatever the circumstance is? Did he promise that whatever the temptation is, he will give you a way of escape? So forget what it looks like. Go back to what he said. Sometimes we need to stop believing what we see, and we need to start believing what we know. What has Jesus already told you? And hold on to that, and let him work and move. Worship with our guys here, if you will. Mary gave her best at Jesus' feet. In John 12, Mary took out about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet, and then she wiped it with her hair. Worship is always, always about an act of sacrifice. In 2 Samuel 24:24, the verse says this, I will not sacrifice burnt offerings to the Lord that cost me nothing. Because love always cost. Some of these amazing people here on stage behind me can tell you that there are often times when I will highlight that point. The point being, if we come to a Sunday morning service and all the songs are familiar and everybody kind of knows what they're doing, if Ryan hasn't spent time still going over it to make sure it's ingrained and make sure it's ready to go, then it cheapens the worship experience for him. If Billy hasn't logged on and listened one more time through the songs, even though he may already know them, it cheapens his worship experience. So no matter what, I always want these folks to come here having worked a little bit extra hard so that the experience brings with it a sacrifice. I did something in order to get here. What's interesting about the fact that Mary anointed Jesus with this perfume is that it's a perfume that's reserved for burial. Why would she anoint a living person with a perfume that's only used for the body of a deceased? Well, how cognizant she was of all the events that were about to happen, I don't know. What did she know that other people in the room didn't know? I don't know. But I do know this. At the feet of Jesus is where you and I learn the secrets of God. When we stop, when we listen, when we worship him at his feet, we know peace that we may not have previously known, and we see his activity when we may not have seen it before. You know the secrets of God when you spend time worshiping Jesus at his feet. I mean, the Old Testament gave prophecies about a Messiah who would come and who would die. Jesus talked about his death many times, but Scripture gives evidence to the fact that although he talked about it many times, many of those around him fought that concept all the way up until the moment that he's taken away to the cross. But in this moment, Mary got it. True worshipers know the secrets of God. And less than a week after she was anointing him, he was on the cross. So what happens? What's the result of you being a worshiper who sits at the feet of Jesus? Well, the result, I think, is threefold. One is this. When you spend time at the feet of Jesus, the house is blessed. In John 12:3, it says that the whole house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. I mean, she broke open a bottle of an expensive and very aromatic perfume, and the whole house was filled with the aroma. But Scripture takes note of that because it's more than just a simple fact. Everyone who was there experienced the aroma of Mary's worship of Jesus. I can assure you, if you come to this place, if you come to Wildwood every week expecting to seek Jesus, expecting to come and take your burdens and put them at his feet, expecting to listen to what he says, if you come here expecting to worship him by giving him the very best that you can give him, this whole house will be filled with the aroma of your praise. This house will be blessed. Because worship smells good. Your friends, by the way, are blessed when you spend time at the feet of Jesus. Mary's time at Jesus' feet translated into evangelistic results in her life. Because in John 11, verse 19, it says that many Jews came to minister to Mary and Martha because of the death of their brother. But in verse 45, we see that the friends of Mary found faith in Christ. She is singled out as the one person whose friends found faith in Christ in this particular experience. It was Mary's friends. Would you like to influence people in your life? Would you like your friends and family to be influenced towards a relationship with God? Then my encouragement to you is this. Go to the feet of Jesus and become a worshiper. Stop. Listen to what he says and give your best to him. And then lastly, this. There is one place in Scripture where Mary is referenced without talking specifically about historical activity in her life, and that is in Mark 14, verse 9. Mark 14, verse 9 says this, "Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she, Mary, has done will also be told in memory of her. The world is blessed when you become a true worshiper, worshiping him at his feet." Because right now, a couple of thousand years later, as of 10:15 on this Sunday morning, we're still talking about what she did. This lady who appears three times in Scripture in three very short stories, we're still, right now, talking about her worship. When you worship God at the feet of Jesus, the world is blessed. All of this was true because Mary had learned the key of worship. It is about getting to and dwelling at the feet of Jesus. When I think about this, I look back at the things for which I am truly grateful. Truly grateful for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm truly grateful for the spear that he took in his side. The crown of thorns that he wore on his head, and the blood that was shed by Jesus on my behalf. I'm truly grateful for the fact that even though it took all of that that Jesus did in order to save me, he did it in obedience to his Father. That the cost of my salvation, as great as it was not too great for Jesus to carry. And he did it. And he did it for me. You know, there were no thorns on the ground until Genesis chapter 3. Because Scripture says that I would cause thorns to grow on the ground as a part of the curse of the sin that was brought into the world. Isn't it interesting? The thorns that were here because of our sin were fashioned into a crown, and Jesus wore our sin on its head on the cross. And the blood that flowed from his forehead when those thorns were pressed in, that's because of our sin. Isn't this a Jesus worth worshiping? Isn't this a Jesus that we should stop for and listen to? And if he can take the sin of the world and wear it on its head, can't he take your burdens when you put them at his feet? Isn't he capable enough for that? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. And we pray that we would become the kind of people who worship you. Who worship you by stopping what we're doing and listening to what you have to say. Who worship you by bringing our burdens at your feet. And by giving our very best to you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that if our deacons would come and join us now, we're going to take a moment to remember through the Lord's Supper the death and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As the elements are passed today, as you feel in your heart a sense not only to worship him, but to seek him, my encouragement for you today would be to do so. And as the team leads this morning and the elements are passed, I'll step up in a moment with some verses of Scripture that will lead us into the taking of each of the elements. So if you'll hang on to them while they're passed, and then together as a congregation, we'll remember his body and his blood. But I also passed on to you. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, given thanks, body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." In remembrance of you, God, today, we thank you for the body that was broken, for the blood that was shed, for the fact that our lives dead have been resurrected to live eternally with you. In prayer, to remember your death and to sing your praises. In all things today, we give you thanks and praise and worship. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.